Some are a great deal. Lord, why is it that people don't witness?
Why is it that people don't witness? And the thing that became obvious to me that summer is I read, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And you'll see this in the early chapters of the book of Acts, that these people would go out, they'd read the Word, the Old Testament, which they had, they'd spend time praying together, and it was out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth would speak. If you have a daily, vital, personal relationship with the Lord, and Tim said it last night, you know, talking about this fellow that he worked with, that you just couldn't keep his mouth shut. And that's exactly right. And you may want to jot down Acts 4:20. We cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. Matthew 12:34, where Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So as you walk with the Lord in a personal way, then you will experience a desire to speak. Matthew 12:34. All through chapter 4 and 5, you'll find Matthew 5:41-42, you know, where they told them not to speak again in the name of Jesus and turn them loose, and they went everywhere, day to day, house to house, speaking in the name of the Lord. Matthew 12:34, and in Acts 5:41-42. Now, I want to take just a moment to teach you how to use a tool. And just a few minutes. The little Real Purpose of Life booklet. And we wrote this just before we came to Norman a few years ago. That about the only thing that was out was the four spiritual laws in a way of tracts like this. And in Texas, where I was, the state BSU director encouraged us not to use it because Campus Crusade had been kicked off of a couple of campuses in Texas due to some of their very aggressive means, and it associated us with them. And so we just couldn't use it. And I thought, well, it seems to me a shame that it's such a good tool, so it wasn't an effort necessarily to try to improve on it, because I'm not sure we've done that. But we needed something that we could use. That is in no way a slam at them or their book, but in their early days they did do some pretty aggressive things that got them in trouble with some university officials. This little booklet was written, and at the time I had it just in mimeograph form when we came to OU, and so later we had it printed. The State Evangelism Department wanted to print it. So let me just share with you quickly. Now, some of you, this will be old hat to, but I want you to know how to use it. And incidentally, in the tape library, we have two tapes, 45 minutes each, in which one of them I explain some things about giving your testimony, how to present it, how to open the door for you to present it. And then on another tape, take 45 minutes in going through with a fellow, as a boy that's on a gymnastics team that we led to the Lord at OU, using the track. And so at a later time, we just sat down in the office, and I just went through it basically as I did the day he accepted the Lord. And so there are those two tapes that you may want to listen to. They're called The Thinking Behind the Real Purpose of Life Booklet, The Thinking Behind the Real Purpose of Life Booklet, and also the second one is How to Present the Real Purpose of Life Booklet. And I'd listen to the one on the thinking behind it first. We'd thought about, we also have it on videotape, possibly using it here. But now I'm going to go through this very, very briefly with you. But at a later time, I think you might want to listen to that. Now, one of the things that a track like this can do for you is, as you're also talking, they can also be looking at something. And not only that, but if you'll learn to keep these with you, and we'll provide them for you at the BSU. They're in the bookstore. If you want to go get them to take home to your church, then we'd suggest that you pay for them. We will give you all you'll use on the campus. So anytime you need some to go out and witness on the campus, you just walk in the bookstore, because that's what they're for. The thing about it, I think the title, and so many people, like the lady in Oklahoma City where they mail them out, said if you want to get it encouraged someday, she's just got a whole file drawer of letters from people all over the country that have written in and have accepted the Lord. One fellow found it in a bus station and read it and accepted the Lord and went home and led his wife to the Lord using it. And it's really been encouraging just to see the way God has used it. And what so many people say about it is it's attractive, and that's the first thing that's gotten their attention. Now, people are looking for a real purpose in life. One night I walked into a boy's room and started talking with him about his major and this type of thing, and what he's planning to do, and he got out and he was going to get married. He hoped someday, well, then what are you going to do? Well, I guess I'll get a job. Well, then what? And so finally he just stopped in the conversation. He said, well, just tell me, what is the real purpose of life? And I said, well, I'm glad you asked. So I pulled this out of my pocket, but those were his exact words. Well, just tell me, what is the real purpose of life? I went through it. But this is a method of presenting the gospel. If you'll learn to keep these with you all throughout your life, or some tool, regardless of what tool you use, I've found that when I go into a restaurant or someplace to eat, you can just lay one of these down, put a tip on it, or, you know, like I stop in a gas station or someplace like this, by having these, I can just share with the person usually when I pay, say, let me leave a little booklet with you that contains a very important message. I hope you'll have time to read it. And, you know, I've done this in gas stations for years. Most time people are very gracious to take them. You know, sometimes as you drive off, you'll see the guy standing there reading it or, you know, looking at it. And so I believe there's an attractive way that we can be a witness. Now, see, Satan likes, when we think of evangelism, he usually likes for us to think of a caricature. You know, the guy who goes through the dorm, he's got the 12-pound Bible under his arm, he's pouncing on everybody. And see, that's not the way you have to witness. And Satan will try to belittle you and make you think, well, now, if you're a witness, that's the kind of person you have to be. You know, it's amazing to me as you read the New Testament how Jesus could talk with people. And I believe anyone he talked with, he could go back and talk with a second time. There's an attractive way to bear witness to people. And sometime a little track or something like this, because as you move through life, there will be times and you won't have a great deal of time to explain something to a person. Now, for example, I was coming back from Falls Creek, as some of you have heard me share, and I stopped in this gas station. And the little trigger deal was broken, and so the guy couldn't leave. He had to stand there and hold it. And so I engaged him in conversation. And I like to use questions to start with. Like if I go in the dorm this fall and I meet someone, I'll tell him, my name's Max Barnett, and I let him know where I'm from. Or see, like as you approach people in the dorm, the approach, you could say, my name's so-and-so, and I'm a student here at OU. But I'm just out visiting, and because I am a Christian, I'm interested in because I've grown so much and God's done so much in my life since I've been at OU, I'm especially interested in sharing my faith with other people. And by the way, where are you from? Well, I'm from Tulsa. What are you planning to major in? And so you begin to ask some questions. And then you can say, by the way, did you go to any church in Tulsa? Well, I'm Methodist. Well, fine, great. Were you raised a Methodist or did you become one recently? Well, I was raised a Methodist. And see, you just start through these questions, and then it's so easy to lead into your testimony. And your testimony is one of the best ways to witness, and that's what we'll work on a little later this morning. Now, if I get to the point, and like with that man in the gas station, as I had a chance to ask him some questions, I had a chance to share my testimony. Well, then some other cars came in, and I needed to be on my way, and I didn't want to embarrass him, so then I just gave him one of these, and I said, sir, here's a little booklet. It contains a message, just exactly what we've been talking about. So why don't sometime when there's not anybody around or tonight, you just take us home and read it. And he said, okay, I'll do it and I'll share it with my wife. Well, you see that type of thing. So it's a great way in which you have something to give to someone. Now, if I'm witnessing to a person, I like to just always fold it back and just go through it like this, such that they're not reading on, you know, don't, in other words, don't hand them one and you take one and you read one, because they'll be on page 6 while you're on page 2 or something. And it's so much better just to take it and read through it with them. And the thing I try to do, if I have a chance to share my testimony, I say, let me share with you a little presentation as clearly as I can about how to become a Christian. Now, I may not show you anything you don't already know, but I'd like to take a few minutes just to try to help make this very clear to you exactly what it means to become a Christian. And so I say, why don't we get started? And then I'll just fold it back and then, you know, I'll start through the introduction. A noted physician recently said, medical science is giving us longer life but no reason to live. And you see, that's true. A man may be in an automobile accident as a result of his medical science, his life is spared, but medical science can't tell him what to do with life. You see, science cannot deal with the purpose of life. and the meaningless, frustrated, unhappy lives of many people indicate that a real purpose for living is lacking. And then you can just go right on and read through it. So I won't read. See, you don't have to remember anything. If you can read, you can use this. And I would encourage you to listen to those tapes this summer, and I think you'll get some helpful ideas. Because I've met people who've been using the book for several years, and they said, after I heard the tapes, it made so much more sense to me and helped me so much in presenting it. And then I want to deal with just one thing at the back. If you'll turn to the page back here where it says, by faith, you can receive Christ. And I won't go on through the booklet with you because we don't have time. But you can read through it. But here's a crucial area that I know some of you probably wonder about when you're presenting the gospel. Like when I get to this page and it says, by faith you can receive Jesus Christ, you can invite Him into your life. And if I'm talking to a person, I'll usually use a couple of illustrations. And at this point, I'll just stop and I'll say, now Joe, let's suppose I'm talking to this fellow here. I said, now if you see, we've been through the gospel here. And if you really want to receive Christ, or if you're thinking about it at least, before you do that, I think there's something you need to know. And so I want to share a couple of illustrations with you and maybe help you to understand. And then I use this, the illustration of the football coach. How many of you have not heard that? Most of you have, I think. Well, let me just quickly go through it. Let's suppose we're out in front of the BSU, throwing the football, kicking it around, and let's suppose, for our example, that Coach Switzer drives by, and let's say we need a punter about that time. And here's one of the big fellas out there, and he kicks the football about the time he drives by. Well, it's obvious, you know, the guy's got some natural ability. So the coach notices this. The next day, he's seen those kids out there before, but he's never noticed this fellow. So he pulls over in BSU parking lot, and he just sits there and watches for a little while. He thinks, man, that guy has really got some ability. With some coaching, he could probably really help us. So the next day, he puts a little contract inside of his pocket, and he comes back over there, and he's, sure enough, that guy's out there kicking that football. So he goes up and introduces himself. He said, my name's Coach Switzer. And he said, well, my name's Joe. And he said, Joe, you like to kick a football? And he said, oh, Coach, I love to kick the football. And he says, well, how would you like to kick it on Saturday afternoon with 70,000 people watching? And he said, oh, Coach, I'd love that. Not usually that many people watch us, you know. And so he said, well, how would you like to, have you ever spent a winter in Oklahoma? He said, oh yeah, Coach, I'm from Oklahoma. He said, well, it gets pretty cold sometimes. Oh yeah, it gets real cold sometimes, Coach. And he says, well, how would you like to have a nice warm jacket with a big O on it? And he said, oh, Coach, I'd love that. And he said, where do you live? And he said, oh, I live over in the, you know, Lincoln House or someplace like that. And he said, well, how'd you like to live in a real nice dorm? You know, white leatherette, lounge chairs, and carpet running out the front door and all this. He said, Coach, that's not the kind of dorm I live in. And he said, how would you like to eat steak while the kids in the other rest of the dorms are eating spaghetti and meatballs? He said, oh, Coach, I love it. And he said, well, all you have to do is just sign your name right here. So he just signs his name, you know, and Coach picks, you know, folds the contract up and sticks it back in his pocket. He said, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you something. We work out 3 hours every afternoon. Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. You have to be in your room at a certain time at night. And the coaches come through and check to make sure you're there. And he, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. You don't just go home any weekend you want to. And he keeps up coming up with these, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you deals. Well, what do you think his attitude would be? He could say, well, Coach, you weren't honest with me. Why don't you just take that contract and tear it up? Or he could say, fine, Coach, I didn't think you were telling me the whole truth. Then another illustration. Let's suppose we're sitting home some night and there's a knock at the door and I go over and open the door and here's a guy who's got a big long beard. He's got two guns strapped on each side and he's got a knife holding it between his teeth. And he shows up at my door and knocks. Well, I don't know if I want to invite him in or not. Because I don't know what he's planning to do once he comes in. So at this point I'll say, now Joe, I'm not saying Christ is that kind of character, but I want you to know one thing. If today you invite Christ to come into your life, He will come in like He promised to give you peace and some of the very things we've been talking about, forgiveness of sin, meaning and direction and purpose in life. But I also promise you something else, that if He comes into your life, He's going to work on you for the rest of your life to try to make you the person you ought to be. Now, the honest truth is, I would not buy a used automobile on as little information as some people get for becoming a Christian. and you wouldn't either. And we're asking a person to make a commitment, a lifetime commitment to Jesus Christ. And sometime we want to go in, give him the gospel, telling him that if you accept the Lord, you will go to heaven when you die. God will forgive you of your sins. And there's not one word said about the fact that he intends to be your Lord. Now, I'm not saying that you go in and preach a lordship message. It's not a matter of works, but it's a matter you're inviting Christ to come in, and you ought to know what kind of Christ it is. And that if you come, if you invite him to come in, he will come in, he will forgive you. And I don't go, now you got a pledge card, Sunday school, church, training union, baptism. See, you don't go into all of these things that you have to do once you become a Christian. See, that a person will normally do and should do once he becomes a Christian. But I feel good about that because I haven't gone into works. I haven't made it a work salvation. But I've tried to be honest with him. If you invite Christ to come into your life, he will. And he'll work on you for the rest of your life to become the kind of person he wants you to be. See, I believe that's being honest with him. Now, Joe, now if you wanna accept the Lord, he loves you. I would encourage you to do it. He will give you a new power. There's nothing for you to fear once he comes into your life. He will enable you to do things that you cannot possibly do now. And see, you can trust your life to someone like that because he loves you and he died for you. And in this way, you lay a very, very healthy foundation for follow-up and getting him into discipleship. Okay, any question about that? Now, in the little booklet, if it's obvious a person's accepted the Lord, I usually just have him to date it and sign it and then just tear this out. It says here across this way, if you can read it, clip and carry in your billfold, a little orange page, you can just tear that out. And this way he can keep that in his billfold or purse. And then on the other side is 1 John 5:11 through 13. And you get him started memorizing that. So you're trying to help him on assurance. And then the little page on aids to growth. See, immediately then I can start follow-up with him using the very booklet that I use to lead him to the Lord. And this is helpful because you're not springing anything new on him. And then I can say, depending on the time, if I have time with the person, I'll talk with him a little about it then. But if not, I'll say, now here on this last page are some helpful things I'd like to go through with you. Could we get together for a few minutes tomorrow? Or could I come by day after tomorrow and meet with you? I'd say if you can at all, meet with a person within the first 48 hours after he becomes a Christian. And then I'll just say, you see, and then I'll go over assurance of salvation with him, this idea of fellowship with Christ. See, God wants your fellowship. Then it's so easy to lead into the Bible study and prayer, the devotional life. And I talk with him about fellowship with other Christians, the church. Join a church where Christ is preached. Attend regularly. And I'll deal with him here about baptism and this type of thing. But see, this, I could take this page and deal with him for several, 2 or 3 weeks just using this page. And then it's so easy, once I've done that, to say, now we've designed a little series of studies to go right along with it. They're called the Real Purpose of Life Studies. And we want to go through them with you. Now see, if you'll listen to the tape this summer, and I'm sorry we don't have those in the packet of tapes we gave you, those that are on the ministry team, but if you'll listen through those tapes, it'll be so easy next year as you have people in Bible study to go by, and because of the tie-in with the booklets, say there's a little booklet I'd like to go over with you. And then with everyone in your Bible study, you know, after they've been there for 3 or 4 weeks, it's so easy for you to go by and go through the Real Purpose of Life booklet with them just to help them at the point of nailing down their own salvation. I wish we had time to go through all of it, but I don't want to take away your time that you're going to need in working on your testimony. Now, is there any question? On the back also, see, it's designed that you can write your name and phone number, or if you're in a church with your youth group and you want to have a deal to visit from your church, you can just you can get a rubber stamp made and just stamp the address of the church there. But I like to use these so when I witness to a person, I can say, now, if I can ever be a help to you or you have any question, let me just write my name and phone number here, and then you can give it to that person. Okay? Any question about it? I think you'll find if you go through it and learn how to use it that it'll be a tool. It'll be helpful. Now, I don't feel compelled to dump it on everybody. There are times that I'll witness and I'll never use it. But it's kind of like our cans and shelves. It's one more tool that we can use to help bring people to Christ. Okay? Any other question? Okay, I want to pass out a sheet for you. These sheets, the first thing we want you to do in preparing your testimony and I doubt that any of you have ever done this, the first part of this. We give you some references here from the life of Paul, and then you're to go through these references and look over the time periods, like his life before he became a Christian. And then here are the references. You read that, and then you write out about, in the blank below, tell about Paul's life before he became a Christian. Just in a few sentences, tell about his life before he became a Christian. And here are references on how he became a Christian, so you write that out. And then his life since he became a Christian. Now, once you've done that, and you see this from the life of Paul, usually there are two or three sets of verses just to see, because Paul often shared his testimony. And then on the other, there's a thing here where you write out my life before I became a Christian, how I became a Christian, and then my life since I became a Christian on the back. What we want you to do here, now some of you have done this before, but if you don't have it with you, we would encourage you to write out word for word. Think you might want to work on it on a scrap sheet paper first, but we want you to write out word for word your testimony. Now tonight, when we get in our small groups to share our testimonies, we want you actually to read it word for word off of your page. Now that'll keep some of you from jotting down two or three sentences and say, well, before I came from a Christian home. But then when asked to give your testimony, you just kind of, you know, expound on that. It will help you much more if you'll think through every word of it. And tonight when we share, if you will share absolutely nothing that is not written down, then we can help you with it a great deal more. Because if you just write down a few sentences and then when we ask you to give your testimony, you just kind of go on and on, you're not going to remember necessarily, and it's not written down, and it won't be nearly as easy for us to help you with it. Now what we're going to try to do in these testimonies when you get in your group is to help you to communicate. Now, before you write your testimony, before I hand you these, I want to mention two or three things you might want to take notes on. When you are giving your testimony, there are several things you want to do. One is you want to tell in the, well, of course, the time periods are here, your life before, how you became a Christian, and your life since. You want to stress the three time periods. Now, once you have written out your testimony and thought through it word for word, at a later time you can take a 2-minute testimony and you can give it in 10 minutes or 20 minutes, or you can emphasize different parts of it. But at least it will help you to get a basic 2 to 3 minute testimony that's ready, that's thought through, prepared, so that you stop at a gas station and you have an opportunity to talk to a waitress or something like that, it'll be ready. Now the reason we want you to be able to give it in 2 to 3 minutes is basically for two reasons. Number one, if you can't give it from 2 to 3 minutes, you won't give it very often. And the second reason is there'll not be very many people that'll listen to you. Now, there are a lot of people that you can sit down and take 15 or 20 minutes. But if you get that thing in from 2 to 3 minutes, see, I can actually give my testimony while a guy's putting gasoline in my car. And do it in such a way that I've given him enough information to know how to become a Christian. And so, what I'd suggest that you do here is, and then give details. Now, Paul did this, and one of the references you'll look up is Acts 22:3. It says, I was a Jew born in Cilicia. He said, I was raised in this, tells the city where he was raised. He was brought up in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel, and he was very zealous for the law, as all of you are today. And that is one sentence. An amazing detail he gives about where he was born and about his family, about where he went to school, one of his teachers, and he does all that in one sentence. So that will be very helpful to give details. And then especially, you want to be careful about translating your church talk. You know, like words like saved. You know, I walked down the aisle and took the preacher's hand. Well, see, that doesn't communicate to a Jewish person that doesn't know what goes on in a Baptist church. And see, that just... But a lot of times we witness... I mean, it would take a miracle of God for him to decipher what you're saying. And we use words like that. I was saved. Well, that's a good word, but you walk out to the average pagan and talk about being saved. Now, that's a Bible word, and it's a good word. I first told a man that one day, and he got in a car. He was hitchhiking. I was trying to learn to witness, and I was scared to death, but I thought, well, I'll get started. And I said, sir, are you saved? And he said, yeah. He said, I was in this car wreck, and nobody sees how I got out of it alive, and that was salvation to him. And I talked with him to see if there's any connection with God, and there was absolutely none. But he thought that's what I meant by being saved. Have you ever been in an accident and lived? That's what he thought I meant. We see a lot of times we don't communicate. So you want to take words like save, redeem, born again, walk down the aisle, took the preacher's hand. These words, that's Baptist jargon. And it doesn't mean anything to a non-Christian living out in the world. Even born again. See, that's a Bible word. But you can use the Bible words. I'm not against that. But then explain what they mean such that they'll understand. Okay? Now we're going to take the rest of the morning. We give you the... I believe that's on the schedule, right? We'll give you this, and you get aside, no two of you together, work on Paul's testimony first, and then work on your testimony. We're not trying to improve on Paul's testimony, we're trying to learn from it. Do you understand that? And then, if some of you get through, then continue to read in Master Plan of Evangelism, okay? So, each one of you take one of these, and remember, now tonight in the group, when you share your testimony, if it's not on paper, it's not valid. You don't get to share it. You only share what's on paper. This way, at a later time, we can, if you like, maybe we could look these over and make suggestions. And then in the group, when you share them, if that doesn't communicate, you can help each other. Pass those around, each one take one. We'll ring the cowbell at lunch.